Please be seated. Let us pray. Gracious and Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for this opportunity to gather in your name, to gather here as the people of God and to hear your word spoken to us through word and song and sharing. Lord Jesus, encounter each of us where we need to be met this day so that our hearts may be warm towards you and towards the people whom you love in this world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Like most of you, I would imagine, I greatly enjoy going to the movies. And I enjoy going and being taken away and to go to some wonderful movie that will keep my interest for a couple of hours and lead me down some journey, some narrative that I find interesting and hopefully something that will surprise me. And movies that tend to have an, aha, kind of surprise moment are the ones that I remember the most. And most good movies, I believe, have something along those lines. Now, there a little bit of preamble here. I'm going to do some spoilers. So if you don't want to be spoiled, if it's a movie you want to see, go like this. And I'll know that you're not going to hear that. Now, the movie The Wizard of Oz, there was a great aha spoiler moment at the end. I'm imagining most of you have seen that. If I have not, I'm sorry. But in The Wizard of Oz, remember what happens at the end when they're talking to the great and powerful Oz, and then suddenly off to the side, the curtain moves. And you see that the great and powerful Oz is merely a man with a trick. And it changes the whole story for us all. Remember the movie The Sixth Sense? Did anybody see that movie? It's a great movie about this counselor who works with kids, Bruce Willis. And he works with these children and this one particular child who can see dead people. Remember that part of the movie where he says, "I see." Well, the movie, at the very end, you don't see it coming, but it turns out that this counselor, Bruce Willis, who's been working with him the whole time, doesn't know it himself, but it turns out that he is dead. Yeah. Now, there's a favorite movie that's going out right now that kind of has a different twist at the end. It's the movie Frozen. I'm trying to make it up to my daughter. That's her favorite movie. And Frozen has this whole thing, like there's a couple of twists. There's the guy who is going to marry Anna, who's the prince, who's the youngest of 12, you know. And he shows up and you think he's a good guy, but he's not. And then there's this part at the very end, because remember the whole story is about only your true love. You know, and everybody thinks that the true love is who? The big, blonde, handsome guy that hangs out with the reindeer. Right? All right? Everybody thinks that's who it is. But who is it? It's Anna and Elsa. It's sisterly love. And it's this great twist at the end. Now, if I've spoiled it for you, I ask, just let it go. And the greatest of all the movie spoilers is old school. The greatest is this one. Luke. I am your father. Right? Right? So, all of those movies are movies that we remember and we love those stories of how it twists. Now, I share all this with you because guess what? The story you just heard that Mark read, the fourth chapter of the Gospel of Ruth, has a big twist at the end too that we don't see coming. Now, it's been set up throughout the whole book. We've been reading the book of Ruth all month, each week a different chapter, and we've gone through it. And as we have looked through it, we remember the story. Luke and Naomi are in Moab. Luke and Leah? Ruth. That's who I'm talking about today. All right, Ruth. All right, let me get that in there. Ruth, thank you, and Naomi are in Moab. And Naomi's husband Elimelech dies. And then Ruth and her sister-in-law Orpah, their husbands Mahlon and Chilion, they die. And so then they have to come back. And so they tell us a story of all of this suffering that happens. And Naomi is just broken. And Ruth makes the incredible risky choice of going to a foreign land with her mother-in-law, and that puts them in a desperate situation. Complicating it is that they're coming from Moab, which was the great enemy at the time of the people of Israel. So they're coming from an enemy territory into this new place back home for Naomi and Israel. And they're uncertain about what their life's going to be because they are women in a society who have no husbands, and they're very desperate. And then we come, as we heard last week so expertly from our wonderful seminarian, Anna, as she told us about how the encounter with Boaz becomes very central, because Boaz plays a role in that society of the Goel, the kinsman redeemer, the one who can then redeem someone from the family from slavery, or redeem land that the family had to sell at another point in time. Or, as is the case in our story we heard today, the one who can marry the family member, or perhaps a brother marries a brother's wife who has passed away, so as to keep that line going. And as we hear our story today, we see that happening. We see this wonderful event happen of Boaz working what he has to do so that he can fulfill his societal role of the Goel, the kinsman redeemer. And we see all that happen, and then we get to verse 13. And this is where it takes a twist that we don't expect. So Boaz took Ruth, and she became his wife. And then they came together, and the Lord made her conceive and bear a son. And then notice what happens next. This child, Obed, is not given immediately to the father, which you would think would be the one who would receive the gift. No, the women then said, the child is given to her, to Naomi. Blessed be the Lord who has not left you this day without next of kin, and may his name be renowned in Israel. He shall be to you a restorer of life and a nourisher of your old age. And then Naomi took the child and laid him on her bosom. Now, if you were listening to this at the time that it was written, it would have been kind of a shock. Because what we're seeing here is something radical to the society. You see, we think as we're reading this story that the Goel, the kinsman redeemer, that the redeemer of the story is Boaz. But because of what we see here, where the baby is given to Naomi, and we go back to the very beginning where we see that Ruth had said to Naomi, where you go, I will go, where your people will be my people, your gods will be my gods. We come to find out here in the last little paragraph of this book that the Redeemer, who we thought all along was to be Boaz, was, in fact, Ruth. Ruth is the one who is the great Redeemer of the story. Ruth, a woman. Ruth, a foreigner. Ruth, an enemy, becomes the one through whom the restoration of the line of Israel, the Messiah and the Savior, occurs. People who are cursed in one point of Scripture, the Moabites, because of the way they interacted with Israel, are in this story, one of their own women becomes the one who redeems the promise that has been given to Israel and to the greater people of God that a Messiah shall come. And it's fascinating to see that while Boaz does his duty as the Goel, the kinsman redeemer, Notice that it is only the work of the women throughout the story that makes it happen. Naomi and Ruth are the ones who come back. Naomi and Ruth are the ones who kind of plot the plan to kind of figure out what's going to happen. And Boaz marries Ruth, but after only Ruth does what Anna told us last week was crazy, Ruth proposed marriage to him. And then here we see the women being the one who are restored. Indeed, Naomi goes from homelessness to homecoming. Naomi goes from being suffering and death all around her at the beginning of our story to the new life gift of little Obed. And what this story then tells us, this great narrative tells us, is that God can use anyone to bring about new life and new hope. God can use you college students who are working with young people at Caroline Furnace so that they might come to know Jesus a little more fully. God can use all of the young people and the adults from Succasana, New Jersey, and from Redeemer Lutheran Church in your ministry at Mountaintop. And God has used you this week to bring about new life and new hope. God has used the wonderful gift of the youth from here at Bethel to go and serve in New Jersey and to work hard and to put on hazmat suits and to crawl under homes and to work amazingly hard to bring new life. God can use every single one of us in special ways so that our world might find new life. If there is any story in Scripture that tells us this, it is the story of Ruth. It is a story of new life coming from suffering, of hope amidst hopelessness. It is a story that tells us that indeed it leads us toward the one who is hope for the world, our promised Messiah Jesus, who shares our humanity and whose line of human family goes back to this one strong woman who in her faith helped us to see that with God all things are possible. In Jesus' name, amen.